Well, good morning. Isn't it nice to start worship with a little praise hymn like that, a little praise anthem? And this truly is the day that the Lord has made. This is the first Sunday of our season of Lent together. So we praise the Lord for this season of just devoting ourselves maybe to reading the Bible, devoting ourselves to more prayer, devoting ourselves to just learning more about Jesus and loving Him more in our life. So I pray that you do that during this time and this season of Lent. So welcome to each of you as you come. Few announcements here as we begin. Just notice, because this is first Sunday of Lent, that our Lent services start this evening at the Sangersville Church of the Brethren. If you've not been to the Lenten services before, you're missing out. I encourage you to come. First of all, you get to just fellowship with the other churches in your community, and there are a lot of brothers and sisters from the various area churches that will be there. And also, you're missing out on a good meal. They have a soup and sandwich meal that is provided by one of the different churches each week. Moscow, I think, will be March 3rd is when we're serving. But there's always great soups that are provided, and boy, it is a really nice time. There is no charge for the meal. It's just a goodwill donation, and the donations go to local ministries. I can't exactly remember what tonight's ministry is, but it'll be divided up at different times between WRE program and the Stokesville Food Pantry, NRCKO, North River Community Kids Outreach. I mean, there's just a lot of local ministries that will benefit from it. NRCKO is the backpack program at North River, if you're not familiar with that. But I hope you come. Tonight's speaker is Berlin Zirk, and he'll be sharing testimony. Each Sunday we have a different speaker coming in, and they'll be sharing their testimony, whether maybe a miracle that God has worked in their life, or potentially work that they're doing that they testify to, that God is at work within our community, within our world. So, yeah, that's just my snippet of trying to encourage you to come. Starts at 6 o'clock. If you'd like to come earlier, I think if I'm remembering last week, it had on there that the community choir will start, I think, around 5:30, I believe is what time it is. Is it 5? Okay, 5 o'clock. Thank you, Susie. The community choir starts at 5. So if you would like to be a part of that, you know, just come and show up. Barbara Gardner will be leading that, and we look forward to just coming together for a community choir. I just think that's a great idea. I really like that. Just bringing all the different choirs together and just sharing as one. So, so I hope you come. I hope you're a part of that. Notice there lots of other things happening too because of Lent. Notice the Easter egg hunt. Be sure to get that on your calendar for the children, March 16th here at the church. They will be needing candy donations, so if you'd like to help out with the candy donations for the kids, just pick up some candy and just set it either in my... You just set it in my office. That'll be fine. I promise I won't bother it. And my wife knows I love candy. I always have. But I promise I won't touch it. When you buy the candy, just make sure that it's nothing so big that you couldn't get it inside of a plastic egg. You know, you need the smaller portions so that when we pack the eggs that we can get it packed together. So appreciate all the help with that. And the activity will start at 1 o'clock here on March 16th. Also, of course, the Easter youth breakfast. The youth will be serving again on Easter Sunday. We look forward to that. And so, just keep your eyes open for all the different things that are happening during Lent and activities of and worship opportunities for each of you during this season of Lent. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share? Are we doing choir practice today, or is it starting next week? Janet?
I don't know. I'm not in church.
Maybe we take a raise of hands. Do we want to have choir practice after church? It's up to y'all. It's whatever. Do we have the songs picked out? Maybe we'll give it next week. Maybe that way we're all on the same page. Would that be?
Well, we have
Okay. Why don't I tell you what? Why don't we they meet just for a couple minutes, if that's okay, after church, and they can go through the songs. At least people will get an idea then. Those that want to participate, that they can look at the music already. And even if you wanted to go through it, you could. That's totally up to y'all. But if that works, and if you would like to participate in the choir, you can just stay, and they'll gather here after church. Okay, that sounds good. Thanks for saying that, Sherry. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this season of Lent. Lord, we thank you for your cross. Lord, that's what Lent is. It points us to. It points us to the love of you, which comes to us through the sacrifice of your Son Jesus upon the cross. And Lord, we want to dedicate our lives during this season of Lent to you. Lord, help us to grow close to you in this time. Lord, help us to cast out anything in our life, Lord, that is keeping us from serving you more, from loving you more, keeping us away from being the child of God, Lord, that you've called us to be. Lord, we just cast those things away from us now. Cut ourselves off from them, and Lord, we dedicate ourselves now again in a renewed way to just seeking you in our life and loving you. So, Father, we just praise you. Bless us, I pray, in this time of worship together. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. If you have your bulletin, this coming from portions of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Praise be to God. The foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Let's turn our hymnal, page 188, at the cross. Page 188, at the cross. Thank you. Okay, I want to take just a couple moments to gather up any of our prayer requests or praises that we would like to share. I think one praise, I guess, I heard in Sunday school, and that is just a praise for Bruce and Mary Lou, as well as Michelle. They received a new grandbaby into the family, and so we just rejoice with the Shirkies and rejoice with Michelle and her family, the Martins, and yeah, and Jeff as well. We just we praise the Lord for that good news, and so so praise the Lord for that. What a blessing, Michelle, and your family, and we thank the Lord for that new arrival. And you're too young to be either one of your grandparents. Yeah, you're too young to be grandparents. So. So we praise the Lord for that, and yes, we welcome that new life into the congregation, even in some way, and we just pray that the Lord continues to bless the little baby with the, is it little boy? Yes, that's what Bruce said this morning. Yeah, what's the what was
Jackson?
Jackson. Okay. All right. Thank you. Other praises, maybe. Other prayer requests that you'd like to share? Kevin?
My sister,
Candace Clatterball. Okay. Candace Clatterball. Also, Otis, is there any update on Otis, Kevin? Okay. So he is... doing a little better, and praise the Lord for answered prayers there. Otis is 103 years old, and he was quite sick there just a couple weeks ago, but we know that he's had answered prayers and doing better, and so we just praise the Lord for those answered prayers. Thank you, Kevin. And if you would, keep Candace Clatterball in your prayers as well, too. Yes, we want to continue to remember Nancy Bailey, if you would, because she is continuing to have trouble with her back. And if you would like to send her a card, she has not been able to come to church now for a month because of her back being out. And if you'd like to send her a card, her new address is in the directory, and I know she would appreciate that. I think Janet shared that this morning in our Sunday school class. Janet?
Yes, I talked with her this week. She really misses coming to church. So, as her deacon, I would really encourage maybe a card shower.
Okay.
Even if you don't know her, just send her a card and just look from Moscow Church, and I know she would appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you would like to just send her a card, Janet's saying maybe a card shower for Nancy would be great. So... yeah, if you would like to send her a card, please do. And like her new address, her old address, if you have the Mount Solon address, that's not going to get it to her. She has a Harrisonburg address now, and I think it's in that new directory. So, yeah, just make sure you send it to the new address, not the old address. Pam?
Praise for Jennifer.
I'd
like to thank everybody for their prayers.
Okay.
She got a great report from the doctor this week. She's supposed to be cancer-free.
Yeah. Praise God. Yes, absolutely. We've been praying for Jennifer and for good results there. So, yeah, we just praise the Lord for that and just continue to lift her up in our prayers and glad that she got to the doctor in a timely manner that they were able to take care of this. So, yeah, thank you, Pam. I think we need to continue just to pray for our nation. There seems to be just another new stress every week, and yeah, I think it's important we just keep lifting our nation up in prayer and just praying God will have His hand upon us. You see just all sorts of different things happening that at times are discouraging to all of us, and so we just put this nation in God's hand, in His hands, and we continue to pray for his direction for our nation.
I remember Huey Sprouse.
Okay.
His last chemo treatments, and
Okay. Be praying that Huey gets good results. He's been fighting a cancer diagnosis, and we just pray that that the treatments have killed back the cancer and that he'd be cancer-free. So that's our prayer for Huey. Thank you, Greg. Anyone else?
Darren,
Lee? Yes.
Continued prayer for my sister-in-law.
Okay. Okay.
And severe brain damage, and so it's
yeah. Certainly, Joanne Good, if you would, and Pat Shiflett, if you would, just be in prayer.
We need to remember, keep continuing prayers for Gene.
Yes, absolutely. Gene, I was there to see Gene this past week, and her spirits are high. She is still getting those treatments. Her cancer has moved into her stomach, and so she's getting treatments for that. But her spirits are high, and she knows God is working, and so we praise the Lord for that. So, if you would just continue to keep Jean in your prayers and keep lifting her up in prayers, please. Yep. Okay. LaBriska.
She's been having some stomach troubles.
Okay. Yes.
If you notice the bulletin board is so beautiful, I think these people behind me are responsible for that.
We do. Michelle's committee, thanks to all their work, to Greg for helping with that, I'm sure. Greg, I apologize. I said Jeff earlier, and that's not right. It's Greg. I got mixed up. That happens to even me, so apologize. But yeah, thanks to all their work. I said first thing when I came in this morning to Mary Lou, I said, it just looks so beautiful in here. And it looks like spring, doesn't it? And I'm ready for spring. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we're ready for spring. We'll take the warm weather, but it's kind of cold out there today, so.
I have a praise.
Okay.
It took Bates a while to get used to the big chair.
Yes. The electric chair.
Yes, totally electric. I called Janet to see if she knew how to get the chair there. And she did. We read the instructions, and we hunted batteries to try to fix.
Yeah.
Well, Debbie called the rescue squad. So they have become our friends.
Yeah.
They're at our house pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty often.
Yes.
I thank God for the rescue squad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then two ladies caught things, Cindy and Debbie.
Yeah.
And so it worked out that way.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
So we thank the Lord for the rescue.
Amen. And that includes Robert. I know he's not here this morning, but
yes.
Robert, Marcia, they do a lot to help our community, and we just praise the Lord for them. It's not just electric chair that'll get you stuck. Because I got stuck in a chair myself on Saturday. It never happened before, but my back locked up, and I could not go forward. I could not go backwards, and for about 30 minutes, I contemplated what I was going to do to get out of my chair. I thought about calling the rescue squad, but fortunately, with some heat and a whole lot of prayers, I did get out of the chair, and praise the Lord, I'm up today. So that was answered prayers. Deborah, first thing she said is, if you can't get out of the chair, how are you going to go to church and preach? So we had faith, and God answered our prayers. But yeah, I was stuck in my chair. That's not anything pleasant, but praise the Lord. God answers prayers. He answered your prayers. He answered my prayers. So yeah, we thank the Lord for that. Okay, anyone else?
Hi, Derek.
Yes.
Really glad to see your dad.
Yeah, Dana's doing better. He's still kind of slow. He gets exhausted very easily. But, yeah, Mom's getting him to the grocery store occasionally.
They were eating Arby's yesterday.
So, yeah, thank you, Clark, for but what a, prayer is answered, isn't it? When we have troubles, we seek the Lord, and God answers our prayer. And Dana is a answer to prayer, his health. So thank you all for your prayers. Okay, with that, I'm going to have our ushers to come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Let's share the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for our answered prayers. Lord, as we come to you in prayer, Lord, you continue to bless us with answered prayers. And Father, we know it's because you hear our cry. Lord, you know our burden. Lord, you seek to answer our prayers because you truly are a loving God. Lord, we see your love displayed for us upon the cross through the death of your Son, Jesus. He was willing to bear our burden upon that cross. And Lord, we praise his name here this morning. We praise him together. Lord, for those names mentioned upon our prayer list this morning, we lift and offer each one up to you, God. We continue to seek answered prayers for each one. And Lord, just have your way. Lord, we know that your way is perfect and your way is good. And so, Lord, we just pray, have your way. May your will be done. Lord, for the prayers that are within our hearts and minds, Lord, maybe unspoken things that we're personally dealing with, Lord. Lord, we just pray your help in our life as well. Lord, you know our burden. Lord, you know our cry. Lord, you know our pain even. And Lord, we just lift that up to you now. Seek healing, Lord. And Lord, we even seek forgiveness where we fall short. Lord, help us to be more like your Son, Jesus. Lord, he is the model that we are to live our life by. Lord, help us to live our life in a way that would please you, Lord, and that others might see your goodness in us, and that, Lord, they would not praise us, but, Lord, that they would turn to you and seek to praise you in their life. Lord, thank you for the offering we bring forth this morning. Lord, we lay it upon your altar, and Lord, we lay it before your feet. And Lord, we seek to bless you with these things. Bless us, I pray, as we turn to your word now. Lord, as we dedicate ourselves during this time of Lent to seeking and serving you, Lord, just help us, I pray. Bless us as we turn to your scriptures now. Let us hear again your story. But Lord, let us hear that story of love, of forgiveness, Lord, that we each need, of hope. Father, we praise you and we praise your Son, Jesus. We pray all these things in his blessed name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I want you in your Bible to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. We're looking at verses 12 through 14. Although you keep your finger right there in Exodus, we're going to go back a little farther than that to another scripture as well that will kind of build on this scripture. And so we'll start here in Exodus 12. And this is, I'm going to kind of build on different themes throughout the season, or season of Lent. I'm kind of gonna build each week on another theme of the cross, really, and the gift of Easter, and building towards Easter, Palm Sunday, Easter. So we'll start this week, which is I've titled a preamble to the cross. Really, just getting those first statements of why God brought us the cross, why God chose to deliver us through the cross. And really, the image, the picture of the cross can be seen throughout the whole Bible. You can find the cross even in the Old Testament, this image of a deliverer, of someone that will come and cover our sins. A lamb, even, that will come. And that blood from the lamb would cover our sins, and to protect us from death. And so maybe if you're thinking of what I'm talking about and that we're turning to Exodus, maybe you already have in your mind now the image of the Passover lamb. And that innocent lamb would be slain so that death would pass over the children of Israel. Now, doesn't that remind you of the Lamb of Jesus? And it certainly was an image of Christ in the New Testament. He is the Lamb of God, isn't he? Why don't you say that with me? Lamb of God. That's who Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God. You find even in the Old Testament that it was already, God was already foreshadowing of how he would deliver us, all of us, from sin and death. And so we see here, Exodus 12, I'm picking up in verse 12, and it says here, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night," this is God speaking, "and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial." He's wanting them to remember this. "It shall be to you a memorial that you shall keep it as the feast to the Lord throughout the generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Isn't it a peculiar thing, really, that God is using this arrangement to deliver this plan to deliver the children of Israel? Think of all the different things he could have done here, and delivering Israel. Certainly he could have delivered them in multiple ways. He could have just walked them right out, and God could have protected him with his angels. They would have had no harm come to them. I mean, there's lots of ways that God could have delivered Israel from the bondage of Egypt, but he did it with the blood of a lamb. And that, just think of that. It's kind of peculiar, isn't it? That of all the ways that God could have delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt and protect them from the judgment of death, even his judgment, he did it with a lamb and the blood of a lamb that would be placed upon the door of the house. That those that were marked with the blood were saved. Now, don't you think that God had for you today to know that that was an image of what was to come? That those who are marked today with the blood of Jesus Christ are saved. Amen?
Amen.
We're saved. We're saved from the judgment of God. We're not saved from Egypt or from some other nation. We're saved from God's wrath, his judgment upon evil and iniquity. You know, the cross is not a coincidence, but it is rather a deliberate act of God to heal us of our sin. The cross of Jesus is not plan B. That deliverance in some other means didn't work. That God had another plan and that failed through, so the cross then was the solution to God's problem to redeem man. I don't believe that at all. The cross was not plan B, friends, but the cross was plan A. From the very beginning, we see here even in Exodus, and even before that, God's plan was always to redeem us through the blood of His Son, Jesus. That was always the plan. We say, well, what about the law? What about Moses? What about all those other things that the Jews were to do to find grace before God or to find acceptance as God's people? Well, certainly they were to obey God. They were to obey the law. That's what they did. But the law was never intended to save anyone. The law represents works. It's God's covenant of works. And if they were to obey the law, that the law in some way, if they could, it would save them. The problem was is they could never obey the law. We can't obey the law. We always fall short. The law was really just more so to be a mirror. You know, in the morning, maybe you get up and one of the first things you do is probably you look in the mirror, don't you? Maybe you're in there studying your face for me, I'm seeing a few more age lines coming on or a few more gray hairs coming in. But we look in the mirror, don't we? Why do you look in the mirror? Well, to see yourself, right? You want to get a picture of what you look like. And hopefully, some of us, we spend some time in the mirror, you know, I do, combing my hair, trying to fix myself up, shaving, you know, try to work ourselves back into some shape of going out in public, right? And so we all look in the mirror. The mirror is a true reflection of self, isn't it? That's what it is. The mirror is a true reflection of self. The law is a mirror. And as we look into the law of God, it gives us a true reflection of who we are. It shows us where all the blemishes are. It shows us where all the gray hairs are coming in, where all the age spots are starting to form. It shows us all the blemishes, doesn't it? That's what the law does. It's the Old Testament, as they tried to obey the law, as they lived by the law, as they looked into the law like a mirror, it continued to show the imperfections that existed within the people. And so it does today still. You try to live your life by the law, it will only condemn you. Now, the law, remember, the law is trying to be good enough that God accepts me. This is what the law is. If I am just good enough that God accepts me for me, that if I just do enough good things, that God accepts me for me. If I just give enough in the offering plate, that God will accept me for me. If I just think all the right thoughts, that God will accept me for me. This is the works religion. This is the thought that we get in our mind, that somehow we are going to do something righteous enough in ourselves that we earn God's love. That God will love us in a way that He accepts us for who we are. The problem is that no matter how good we try to be, no matter how righteous we try to live, we always fall short, don't we? Boy, I know I do. I fall short. In fact, the closer I look in the mirror, the law, the more blemishes I see. You know, some women have these magnifying mirrors. You ever seen that? Well, I look in that thing, my face swells up to the size of a cantaloupe. Oh, hold on. You can see every blemish in that mirror. Boy, the closer you get to the mirror, the more blemishes you see. That was the problem for the Jews. The more they tried to obey the law, the more they failed. The more they came up short. The law was never plan A. The law was never plan A, that if you would just do enough, have enough works, be good enough, obey the law, that you would be saved. The law was never intended as plan A. Plan A has always been the cross. The law was just to help get us there. Moses, the Israelites being led out into the wilderness. All the things you see within the story of the Israelites with Moses, even with the law, it all pushes you to one place, that the solution is Jesus. The solution for sin, the solution for God's judgment is the cross. It's our answer to every problem. And God set from the very beginning to save us by the blood of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. And that is where He saves us. The message of the cross is the message of deliverance. It's the message of deliverance from judgment, deliverance from the penalty of death. It's the message of life. It's the message of sacrifice, of blood atonement, of salvation, and love. Boy, I hope the cross is near and dear to your heart, because God answers all your problems through one solution. It's the cross. I know the cross is near and dear to my heart. He solves all of our problems through the death, through the sacrifice of Jesus. You know, Charles Spurgeon, when he was on his deathbed, he was very weak. He could barely talk. And he was able to just get out. I think they asked him, you know, what is your religion, basically? Or what do you believe now that you're here facing death, that you're in the last moments of your life? And Charles Spurgeon said, "I'm so happy that my theology is so simple that I can express it in just a few words, and that those few words are enough for me to die in happiness." And he said this: "Jesus died for me." That's what he said. Jesus died for me. That's our whole faith. That's Christianity. That's our whole belief. That's how we receive the love of God. That's how we know that we go on and that we can die in peace, because Jesus died for me. And that's what he said. I'm so glad my theology is very simple. Jesus died for me. The message of the cross is the power that we need, the power that we receive to live life for God. Okay, you know, for the Jew back in Rome, the cross was a very different thing, wasn't it? It was an instrument of torture. Think how much the cross has transformed through Christ. It was used to be as a tool to discourage people from doing evil. We're going to talk more about the actual suffering of the cross as we get closer to Easter. But they used the cross in Rome as a torture device, and by the Roman standard, you couldn't get a device more that would cause more agonizing torture upon a person than the cross. They had perfected this device to be able to humiliate those who were hung there, but also to make a person suffer as long as possible in his most anguish as possible without the person actually dying. But boy, didn't Jesus transform that from this tool of fear for the Romans to, for us, something that we cherish and see as God's greatest act of love. And so we look upon the cross today and we don't see it in eyes of fear, but we see it with love and with thanksgiving that Jesus died upon the cross. Okay, I want you to turn back, because Exodus chapter 2 brings us to a place here. Exodus chapter 2, I really, you know, we see the solution, which is the Passover. That's the image of God's deliverance of Israel from bondage. That was the plan, right? That the lamb would be slain, the blood would be placed upon the doors of the house, and that death would pass over. But really, if you go back a little bit farther, you can see that, first of all, that God is answering through, in Exodus 12, a plea, a cry that the children of Israel make in Exodus chapter 2. And so look at Exodus chapter 2, and starting there at verse 23, it says, Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and then the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage. And they cried out, and there came a cry, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. Verse 24, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. This is really, I think, the preamble to the cross. That this is this sets the stage for why even the lamb was slain and death passed over. But we see here, first of all, that God sees the groaning and the bondage of the children of Israel. And we see here that God has compassion on them, doesn't he? He knows that they are struggling, that they're in this slavery. Now remember, they were in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years they were there, and a portion of that time, not all that time, but a great portion of that time, was spent in bondage and slavery. They were the slaves of Egypt. When the Pharaoh needed something built, guess who would build it? The slaves. When they needed their farms tilled and tended to and their crops cared for, guess who did it? It was the slaves. And so they were in bondage. They were treated badly. And they were mistreated by the Egyptians as they found themselves in bondage and this servitude to Egypt. And God heard their cry. They're crying out to God. Look, Lord, we're under this great bondage, this slavery to Egypt. God, listen to our cry. Hear us. Hear our labor and pain that we're under these taskmasters and we're forced to do all these things. And they treat us as slaves. We're under the bondage of Egypt. God, hear us and deliver us. And the Bible says there that God, He saw. He saw the groaning of Israel under this bondage of Egypt. You know, as Christians, as humans, man is under a bondage too, aren't we? It's the bondage of sin. That's our taskmaster. That's what the New Testament says. That we too have we're indebted or we're slaves, we're in bondage to sin. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Paul talks about this. Romans chapter 8, you got to go back New Testament. Hold your hand though and your finger in chapter 2. Go to Romans chapter 8. And notice here, chapter 8, verse 15, Paul says to the Roman church, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again." There's the word, same word you find there in Exodus, bondage. "You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba and Father." Listen, we're no longer slaves to sin, are we? Turn back to Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 14. Paul talks about this slavery and bondage to sin. Notice here he says, let's start back in verse 13 there and just read down chapter 7. This is Paul talking about the bondage of sin, the slavery we find ourselves in to sin. "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me. Though what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For we know that the law is spiritual. I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do," that is the thing he very much desires to do for God, "I do not." That I do not practice, he says. "But what I hate, that I do." Wait, we can all say amen to that one, can't we? The very thing he says, Paul, the thing that I want to do for God, that I do not. And the things that I do not want to do, that I do. Now that's bondage, isn't it? That's slavery. And we are slaves to sin. We can't control ourselves, is what Paul is saying. He wants to do good. He goes on, if I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. So what's he saying? Am I in control? No. The very thing I want to do, I can't do. The very thing that I don't want to do, that I end up doing. And who is responsible? Is it me? Well, Paul says, I'm a slave to sin. I can't do those things. It's sin that dwells within me, that is forcing me to do those things that I don't want to do. I have become a slave to sin, Paul says. Who is to free me? Who is to deliver me from this body of bondage, from this slavery to sin? Who is the deliverer? Oh, it's Jesus, isn't it? That's what Paul comes to say in chapter 8. Thank God for Christ Jesus who has delivered me. Listen, we are slaves to sin, just like in Egypt they were slaves to the Egyptians. But there was a deliverer that was going to come, that was going to deliver them from their captivity, and he was going to do it through the blood of a lamb. And death would pass over, and they would walk out of Egypt free. Actually, they'd walk out with all the gold, and they came out with all sorts of things. God delivers us from the slavery of sin because He sees our bondage. Notice, secondly, He hears our cry for deliverance and salvation. They cried out, the Egyptians, deliver us! Deliver us from this bondage, God. And they cried out to God, and God says He hears their cry. He sees their bondage. He hears their cry for deliverance and for salvation. And number three, notice God remembers His promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and listen now to you and to you. God is faithful to the children of Israel because He remembers His promises to them. And listen, today He remembers His promise to each of you that you too can be delivered from the bondage of sin, that you can be delivered from the judgment of God, and you can do it through the blood of a lamb upon a cross. Our life is marked as well, isn't it? We can't see it, but it's there. We're marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, and we're marked with the blood of Jesus, that on that day when we leave earth, or when we are facing judgment, you know what? You know what covers us? It's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers us. And God says, I pass over that house, that dwelling place. I pass over that because they're marked with the blood of the Lamb. Are you marked with the blood of the Lamb? I pray every one of you has received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He delivers the salvation that you need. Only Him. Only the blood of Christ saved those firstborn in Egypt. Without the blood of Christ, they all died. Didn't matter if you were rich or poor. Didn't matter if you were royalty or not. He judged them all the same. No blood that found them out. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the blood of Jesus that You've applied upon our life. Lord, I pray each person here has received You into their heart. Lord, they have received the blood of Jesus upon their life. And Lord, that they have that saving blood marked upon them. So when that day comes, Lord, death will pass over. And Lord, they shall receive eternal life. Lord, thank You so much for this image, this preamble to, Lord, the cross. We see, Lord, that You hear, that you hear and that You see our bondage. And Lord, You remember Your promise to us. And Lord, You deliver us. Thank You, Father, for the deliverance we've received from You. We praise Your name. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, let's gather in our closing hymn now. And if you turn in your hymnal, page 67, The Love of God. Took a little bit of remembering to figure out which hymn this was. I had some help from Everett to remember it. But this is a beautiful hymn, and I hope you enjoy it. Let's stand together and sing page 67. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest stars. Hey, we're getting better at it. It's been a while since we sang that hymn. Boy, that last verse, though. Oh, I don't know. That comes like right from the lips of God. It's just beautiful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, as we go now forth into this season of Lent, Lord, again, just draw us close to you during this time. Might we just seek to give ourselves more fully to you. And Lord, even learn more about your cross. Just how blessed we are for the gift that we've received through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Might we share that message somehow this week with somebody. Lord, just open up a door for us some way, somehow, to share with others the good news of your Son, Jesus, and his cross. Lord, that's our faith. It's that simple. That's our theology. Jesus died for me. Thank you, Father. Bless us, I pray, as we go. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.